here to run a police department, not a frat house.
Unfortunately, she's been diagnosed with a brain tumor.
That's not a U.S. president. Okay. That's just the prime minister of Russia defending the president of Russia.
What do you want me to lock everybody up? What is that going to solve?
I am a very ethical person.
I have many Filipino friends. Our children grew up.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Now, you silly little flim, you got a problem.
Mr. Congressman, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Thank you. I would dignify you by peeing on your leg. I know it wouldn't be worth wasting the urine, but...
Broadcasting from the city of homes and beaches, Steve Tavares is angry.
All right, I'm back again. You remember a while ago, another podcast, we talked to my good buddy, the great Craig Williams, San Leandro is back. How's it going, Craig?
Hi, thank you for having me back.
Everybody loved your performance. It was like,
except my wife.
But I want to get you back here because earlier this year, there was a San Leandro Democratic Party meeting, and you brought in this flyer. You were very passionate about district elections. And so you made up this flyer where it was talking about it and how they were used to as a way to combat racism from at-large races. And so you were passing out a flyer to these people, but to get attention... And to make your point that this at-large was based on racism, you had a big picture of dudes in the KKK. So it's the funniest thing is when you would go up to people to hand them this flyer, they give you a look like, I don't know, has this guy recruited me for the KKK? But of course you were doing the opposite, just to get attention. And but it was the funniest thing. But this is very important. In San Leandro, they kind of have weird district elections. Fremont's just starting up. They're doing it the regular way. This is the district. You guys vote in the district. And so what's the benefits? Because this is an important issue. And I think Hayward people need to be listening because I think they need district elections because they're a big city, 140,000. They got at-large seven people six and a mayor.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I was the president of the Hayward Demos, and I promoted that, in Hayward. But... the history of the issue there is just like the Southern strategy and also the strategy in California. The Southern strategy, it was used throughout the South to restrict and limit black representation. So if people had to run citywide, and as a result, you'd have these cities with 30 or 40% black people.
Was it because it would be expensive? It's more expensive to be trying to reach out to a big...
To run citywide. Yeah, and, strategically, you could... you could organize so that you would get the votes. In California, it was used to keep down the votes of Asian Americans, African Americans, Mexican Americans, and in San Leandro, Portuguese Americans.
What?
There was a city charter done in like the 50s, early 50s, and there was a group called the Free Soilers, and they were like a right-wing group, and... They were given this astronomical amount of money to rewrite the charter of San Leandro, something like $400,000 in 1950 money. But the whole idea between district elections and at-large elections is that with district elections, first of all, you don't have the stain of, coming from a racist, reasoning. But secondly, it's much... cheaper to run in a district than it is, and you want to keep the cost of elections down. You don't have city people saying, all right, we're going to buy cars for the city, let's buy the most expensive cars on the market. You want to keep your costs down for everything, and elections is one of those things. And the third thing is that with district elections, you can go door to door and talk to people face to face, and to do that citywide, it would take you a couple of years to probably do it, or a year to go door to door citywide. So you have much more interaction with voters.
You know, the thing that I hear, like, I hear it in Hayward, and because, you know, if you change from an at-large style to district, that could shake things up. That could shake up who's on that council. So the people who are already there, they always will say, well, you know what? And you tell me if this holds water, in your opinion. They'll say, you know what? If I don't want it to be, you know, somebody's only going to care about their interest in their district and their part of the city. And we think we should all think about the whole city.
Well, you know, you think about, you know, does Rob Bonta represent, you know, he represents his district, but he also represents the whole state of California. He doesn't come up with legislation that just favors, you know, his or Barbara Lee or, you know, districts. You have everybody's under, almost everybody's under district. You know, the state senate, you know, congressional seats, you know, so it doesn't make sense at all. And what you can have is you can have a combination of at-large. And, you know, usually what happens is that, you know, people who were part of a district for a few years and then the next stage is that they become an at-large counselor. And then the next stage is that they run for mayor. You know, so it's like a gradual process. So San Leandro could have like six, you know, maybe two at-large. And you know, it would be a much better system.
Off the top of my mind, and I'm feeling like, you know, former Mayor Tony Santos used to say this. Wasn't part of the to bring district elections to San Leandro was because all the power on the council was centralized, like an Estadio state by 580. Mm-hmm. It's like there was no representation, like by the marina, that part of the city. Was that part of the?
Yeah, I mean, money plays a big role. If you don't
this
have
money,
this
would be the rich part. Would be
yeah. This would be you know
by 580.
Yeah, I mean, it's at least you have districts in San Leandro, but
and I use air quotes rich part.
Huh? Yeah.
Air quotes for rich part. I mean, the richer part.
More affluent.
A little bit more, yeah.
But
it wasn't like there was the ghettos over there by the marina.
Yeah, here is, you know, I mean, it's the whole city is,
yeah,
is especially nowadays, you know, with the high rents. But yeah, I mean, I think it would make for more competitive races, and you know, like I say, you know, the city doesn't want to be involved in, you know, having things cost more than they should. You know, I mean, you don't buy cars, the most expensive cars on the market for the city. You know, and I think, you know, it's like you got to be spending $30,000 a year. It's $30,000 to run a serious campaign for city council.
Yeah.
With district elections, you might get down to like $5,000 or $10,000, especially if you combine that with SanLeandroElections.org. I want to see my
That's
San
your website. That's
yeah,
your website.
My website. I want to see the city basically take it over. Have, you know, have it run by the city, and the schools right now have like a couple $100,000 worth of studio equipment. They could do the debates and the debates at the auditorium, and you know, also the interviews at the studio, which is like I say, a big studio. But between those two things, district elections and, you know, a real vibrant website,
yeah,
you know, we could have campaign finance reform.
Yeah, what you're saying, like, so the story that's in Fremont is that they've had district elections. That's a big city, like, what, 230. It's the second biggest city in Alameda County. And they
huge.
Had at large. They had five people, and that was already too small. People say, that's a too small of a council for a city that big. And then this guy from Malibu, this lawyer who was going around he doesn't care really about the point of what he was trying to do. He's been suing cities just to make money and using for at-large cities like Fremont and saying that they violate the state election or voting act. And for Fremont was saying that if Latinos are concentrated in this one city, they can never get on the city council. And so what's miraculously is that the city, the Fremont city attorney just laid down, and they all do apparently, it's like you can't win it, and it works too much money, just do it. So, poof, we got district elections. So what I'm noticing over there, so they also expanded to 7. So it's also, like you're saying, it's based on race, although not sure if there was a actual problem per se in Fremont with that. but we're here. But you know what I'm noticing? I've equated it to the expansion of it in the district elections. It's like an expansion team, like in a, like in the football or hockey or, you know, whatever sport. Like you add three expansion teams. Like if you're not getting that pool is getting bigger real quick. So mm-hmm. the talent, there's that. So the bench in Fremont's kind of been really strained. So,
well,
but that happens. You got two new seats.
Yeah,
a whole new round, you know, group of people who have never been in this. It's been kind of heady, but overall, it's a pretty good group. But it's interesting though for me to see how what would happen. All of a sudden, you expand, and what happens like that first time, right? Invariably, it'll be better candidates.
Yeah, you know, like everything, you know, you gotta, eventually, you make mistakes at first, but, you know, it's. I think it's a step in the right direction, and
yeah.
I think they'll be happy in the long run.
Before we let you go, you got as we said before, you are an inventor, entrepreneur, you're a craftsman.
Yeah.
You are a community activist. You got a new idea to revolutionize sports, basketball. It's called New Hoop Lines. Tell us what this is about. Because you tried to get the old city manager in San Leandro to, like, maybe, you know, it involves basketball and kind of repainting the courts. It's the same game, right? But different.
Yeah,
tell
you
us
just
about real quick.
You just add a few lines to the court.
You're like Naismith. Inventing a new sport could be played for the next 100 years.
The best thing since 5-on-5 basketball, you know. But the idea is that, you know, you go to a court and you got four people there, right. And I haven't played basketball in 30 years.
You used to play with Dr. J at UMass.
Yeah, yeah. I sort of taught him his moves a little bit. No, I didn't. But, you know.
Could you slam dunk back in the day?
You know, I knew how to dunk, and then I forgot how. You know, it was one of these things. I can't explain it.
Maybe you went so high, you got so much air.
I was a leaper.
You hit your
though.
Head on the rim.
I was a leaper.
Out.
I had a second cousin who played the fly in the movie The Fly, David Hedison, right? And so I used to go around telling people, you know, The Fly, that's my uncle, right? And you know, so people say that guy's a leaper, man. He's like a fly. This guy can fly. But anyway,
briefly tell us how would you? So we know what a basketball court looks like.
It's the same concept as tennis.
So how do you? Okay, tell us.
With a tennis court, you got a narrow court for singles as opposed to doubles. So if you narrow the court for full court, games, you know, you can play full court 1-on-1. And it's a real playable game. I mean, it's just a playable game that people love to play. I mean, you play it and you go. It's almost like, you know, if you play golf or you play tennis, like you're shooting every shot. You know what I mean? A golfer, he's hitting every shot, or a tennis player is hitting every shot. So you sort of enjoy that. So you're playing full court 1-on-1, and you're shooting every time you come down court. But it's also an easy thing to do. It's an easy adjustment to make on a basketball court. You know, it take you like 20 minutes to draw in, to paint in the extra lines.
Would it be easy for, because, you know, there was a survey in Alameda County done, like Hayward and San Leandro kids, all the way up to like, you know, adolescent, about 18 years old. They were most obese. Like Hayward was just a tad more than San Leandro kids. Could this help, like, overweight kids, like, get out there? And, like, because you don't want to be like, hey, just start doing sprints. Like, would this make it easier to start out a little bit before then you could graduate? Or that's not the point.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of it is it's a good workout. It's a good cardiovascular workout. You play half-court games, and it's not really a workout. It's fun. You know, it's athletic. But, you know, if you can play full court, if you have that option.
Would this be like arena basketball? Maybe.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that, you know. But and also, when I applied for the patent, some other guy had a patent,
right.
Which is a little
similar.
You went
to the NBA too. You talked to the NBA, right?
Yeah, you know, I almost got him to do it for the All-Star game, but it's not in their interest. You know, it's definitely not in their interest to do it because it's like they get these groups. If you could imagine a singing group with five singers. You know, you didn't want, you don't want to take away, you know, somebody to become a soloist and just, you know, sing solo. So it's real, it's never been in the interest, but I realized right before the All-Star game, and the guy who was the commissioner liked the idea, Adam Silver, you know, he thought it was, thought it was interesting. But, you know, I tried to get it, because during All-Star week, they have a lot of gimmicky things. They have the slam dunk contest and the, you know, so there's sort of room to experiment with that. On my website, newhooplines.com, I actually have a 5-minute video of these women playing full court one-on-one who are very good players. You know, I mean, they're exceptional players. You know, it's like 5 shots in a row. They're coming down court, shooting off a dribble, making moves, and hitting like 20, 25-foot jumpers. So they're extremely good players. Look at that site, you know, newhooplines.com. You know, so that's my thing. Well, and eventually I want to have Curry play against Kai Irving in a one-on-one.
Oh, man.
You know,
and just your luck, that's when he'll shatter his ankle, never play again. Thanks, Craig. Well, it's the great Craig Williams, everybody. He's got two. You got sanleandroelections.org and newhooplines.com. Check those out. Thank you, as once again, everybody loves Craig Williams.
I'm blessed to be on the show.
Oh, man.
You know, it's like one of the great experiences. I'm going to send my mother a copy, and I
we're going to keep bringing you on until your wife loves it.
That will never happen. Out here the nights are long, the days are lonely. I think of you, I'm working on a dream. I'm working on a
All right, we're back in the podcast, and I have a guest here. I'm in Union City. I've been coming to Union City a lot lately because, you know, it's pretty great down here. Not only Fremont's great, Union City, Newark, I don't know. But I have a special guest here today. He is running for the Chabot Las Positas Board of Trustees in Area 3, which encompasses South Hayward and Union City. Please welcome to the program Harpal Singh Mann.
Thank you, Steve. Welcome to Union City. It's been, you know, an honor to have you here in Union City. We are,
thank you,
most of the times, you know, a forgotten part of this, you know, of county.
I know.
But I am glad, you know, you're here.
People should know I am a product of Chabot College, and I loved it.
I am actually, you know,
I'm a gladiator.
A lot of, you know, people that I've, you know, met, who are supporting me right here from Union City and Hayward and other parts of the Bay Area have gone to Chabot College, and I've had a lot of feedback, you know, of the times when they were Chabot College years ago and what Chabot College is today, the good, the bad. But overall, I think this is, you know, Chabot College is a beacon in right. this part of, you know, the East Bay, and we should be proud of what the college is. Our goal is to make sure that we, you know, we keep improving Chabot College, that it becomes one of the best colleges, not only in California, but in the nation.
Yes, I learned and loved journalism from my time at Chabot with at the Chabot Spectator. I was editor-in-chief, like, I don't know, 1996. And everything, I tell you, everything I learned about journalism, I learned from Bill Johnson, who was the journalism teacher. And I went to Cal State East Bay after, and I really just kind of just like rehashed and got more confidence there. But everything I learned was at Chabot College. Go Glads.
Go Glads.
So let's first talk about, you know, a lot of people, a lot of progressives listen to this, read the East Bay Citizen. So one of the big things of your campaign here, and you have another opponent we shall not name. You can look it up. But one of the things you're talking about is, you're a big backer of free college tuition, right? So explain that. How we get that done?
Yes, Steve. You know, the thing is, I went to, you know, I came here as an international student, and I went to the University of Southern California. And what I did is, in between some of the general education courses, I took them at the Los Angeles City College because it was much cheaper for me to go to LACC
right.
than pay USC a hefty amount. Because as an international student, it was a significant amount of money that my parents had to fork out. Now, I worked when I was in college. As an international student, you could work 20 hours, and I worked at nights and while took classes during the day, and I knew how difficult it was. Right. So I put myself, you know, in the shoes of, you know, a student who goes to high school here in California, and until the age of 18, when you're in high school, you don't have to pay for anything. You go to school, your focus is academics. The moment you turn 18, you either go to university or community college, you're expected to have a fee and books and pay for your living expenses for those who have to move out. Now, that is a very sharp and drastic change in a young person's life. You can't go from, you know, not having to think about work to immediately having to think about, how do I feed myself? How do I pay my rent? And the last thing on your mind is college. Now, the college, you know, I've bought college textbooks. I don't know, for some reason, college textbooks are a lot more expensive given, right. you know, the age that, you know. It's a racket, right? I mean, you don't need hardcover books. You can have, you know, softcover books, which are much cheaper. I remember as a student, a lot of people, you know, from the Asian subcontinent would go to Taiwan or Hong Kong and buy textbooks from there, especially engineering books.
I used to love when it'd be, you know, the publisher had put chapter 3 was now chapter 5 in the new edition, and they didn't make everybody buy that one. It's basically the same book.
It's the same book. I mean,
God bless those teachers who say, you know what, just get the old one. It's cheaper because chapter 3 is now chapter 5, so don't worry about it. But they're not all like that.
So Steve, you know, I have, after graduating from college, I worked for a number of startup companies, and I ended up working for a French company called Alcatel, and, you know, lived in Europe, in France, and then in Belgium. And I looked at their education system, and one of the things that I saw was people don't have to pay for university. That's a right.
Right.
Even things are changing in the UK now that everything is privatized. Obviously, you know, there's a different government. But if you look at the majority of the European countries, education is a right. Various politicians have talked about free education. I look at California. This is a state that has Democrats controlling the Assembly, the Senate, and the governorship. Being the sixth largest economy in the world, why can we not prioritize education and provide free tuition, at least to the community college as a beginning?
Right.
Okay. Now, when I look at the statistics, a typical graduate that graduates from Chabot College over the 2 years has a debt of almost about $10,000 to $12,000. The average earnings that you know they have, you know, for a 10-year period is about $39,000.
Right.
You look at Las Positas College, it's about the same. Now, the debt for students who do not graduate from Chabot College is about $7,000. This is, you know, taking courses and not graduating and not getting a good job. That is unacceptable.
Right.
Okay. We have, you know, large corporations, developers, everyone gets a break. But for the people who live down, you know, on the flatlands, do not get this break.
Right.
If you live up in the hills, you get that break. Whether you own a business, you have some subsidy, you know, by the government, a tax break. I think it's high time that all community colleges in California should be free. And I actually acknowledge and appreciate the San Francisco community college system that, you know, now has free tuition. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that I would advocate if I, you know, get the vote of our citizens.
I find it ironic that if you, you know, you go to college and you theoretically, not everybody, but you get smarter, you get more intelligence. And the irony is, you know, if you have intelligence and you're doing the math, the college education almost sadly doesn't make any sense financially. You're not going to make enough money to ever pay back that, for a UC.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a tough time. I want to ask you a big thing. So mm-hmm. big thing in this race is Chabot is in need of a new chancellor.
Yes.
So that's kind of like what this election, and there's another election also, another seat in this Chabot Las Positas Board of Trustees. It could be a referendum on who is going to be the next chancellor of Chabot College Las Positas. So without naming names, though, what kind of the big thing I think for voters is what kind of person do you think needs to be in that job going forward?
Steve, thank you for asking. It's an excellent question. The chancellor is basically, so the board of trustees has one employee, and that's the chancellor.
Right.
And the board sets up policy goals of what you want the chancellor to implement in your college. And this is an opportune time, I would say, that if I am elected, to make sure that we have a nationwide search for a chancellor, and a chancellor that has a very clear vision of not only being a publicist of papers as an academic, but also relates to what the community needs are. And the community needs are, how do we get our students trained so that they can benefit from this Bay Area economy, which is a high-tech economy. And to me, unless you have a background in STEM, or you have a clear vision of where STEM is going, because that's where the jobs are in high-tech, in healthcare, and biomedical technology, that's where we want someone that has a vision that makes it a much simpler process for students who would like to get into this area of technology without being a genius in mathematics. You don't need to, be a genius in math or physics. There are a lot of jobs in this high-tech sector that do not require you to be a programmer. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's jobs in operations, in DevOps, in security operations. There's jobs in the area of GovCloud, which requires U.S. citizens. This is where foreigners cannot work. And I work right now for a company called McAfee, and we can't hire enough people because they are not qualified. They are people who are not citizens that are qualified, but they cannot handle government data. They cannot even log in and look at the console. And this is where I think the next chancellor needs to have a background and connect, and I will help connect them to the companies here in the Bay Area to make sure that we train young people that, number one, makes them productive in today's economy, and then the chancellor is somebody who has a very clear vision. I'll also go one step further, Steve. Anybody who is supporting me that has an interest in this position, I will, number one, discourage them from applying for that position because it's a conflict of interest, and I will recuse myself from that. I don't think this should be a position to reward anyone because they have a certain amount of public service. This is about the students and the communities. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about, somebody wanting a position as a resume that, this is a, it's a cozy position. It's a $300,000 position for someone to, take this position. It should be the number one thing is, what are you going to do to help students get into those jobs that the Bay Area companies require?
Well, on November 6th, and some of you already have your, if you do vote by mail, you have your ballot. Harpal Singh Mann, and he's running for the Chabot Las Positas Board of Trustees in Area 3. So that's South Hayward and Union City. Thank you for coming on and also for running, because I got to tell you, this particular board has bothered me for many years, and I can only be so many places. But it definitely, I worry about that board, and I don't, without getting specific. So thank you for coming in there and, at least trying to bring some sort of change.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Harpal Singh Mann, thank you for coming on the show.
If, the people of Union City and South Hayward elect me, that board will be transparent. You will have a seat on that high table, and you will know exactly what's going on. There will be no closed-door backroom deals for anyone. This is your community. It's your community college, and you deserve to be represented by someone who represents you on the Flatlands. Once again, Stephen, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. I've been a fan of yours, and keep doing the good job you are of, you know, standing on the truth, because at the end of the day, the truth will always prevail. Thank you, Stephen.